What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably talk about some real estate stuff too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be hard. We can go through some things and we can struggle at times. This is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Guys, just some housekeeping before we get started with the show. Reminder, we are doing the Book of the Month Club again. This month book is the Book on Mental Toughness by Andy Frisella, local legend, friend of our, you know, we all love First Form. The former Murph worked for Andy for a long time, and we thought it would be a great book for us to read. You know, a lot of us have done 75 hard, and obviously that's in the book as well. So really looking forward to reading that. I'm, you know, kind of trudging through it right now. And next, shout out to our friends at NeuroGum. Sent us a great little care package. NeuroGum is a chewing gum with nootropics and caffeine. It's got 40 milligrams of caffeine per piece, as well as vitamins B12, B6, and L-theanine. That combination has been proven to help with memory recall, or recall with verbal and spatial memory or something. But it's great. We love it. Helps keep me going during the week. I chew it whenever we do podcasts. I chew it during jiu-jitsu, during CrossFit, or just when I'm driving around. So get some NeuroGum, check it out.
Also, shout out to our people over at Fit Flavors. From now until the end of May, our listeners, if you go online and buy a online gift card and use the promo code podcast50, you get 50% off of your gift card amount. So I went up, got a $1,000 gift card for $500. It's pretty great.
Yeah, get out there, check it out. Promo code podcast50. So it is a guest episode today. We've got a personal friend of mine in the studio today. He is the owner of BEK Moving Company, the owner of Rent-A-Box LLC, Bloop Real Estate. He's also a jiu-jitsu practitioner, a member of Arte Syndicate, the great and powerful Blake Baumgartner. What's up, dude?
Thanks, guys.
Welcome.
Welcome to the show.
Just start off, half partner.
Okay.
Not full owner.
All right. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the objectivity.
Yeah. You're the face of it. You're the only guy I know of it. So, first of all, I guess let's just tell the people, you know, a little bit about yourself, Blake.
Sure. I'm 35, be 36 May 25th. Just kind of making it up as I go along, man. You would have told me, you know, 7 years ago, because it'll be our 7th anniversary this year, June 20th, for the company, that we'd have a successful company with almost 32 employees, I'd be like, somebody gave you some really good drugs.
Yeah. But
here we are. Dabble a little bit in real estate. Started jiu-jitsu about a year and 3 months, I think, ago. Thanks, Zach.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of going along, living life and loving to see what I can push myself to every day.
Awesome, man. Well, tell us, what is BEK? First of all, I've always wondered and I've never asked, what does the BEK stand for? And then what is it?
So our guys actually changed what BEK stands for, and they turned it into Best Ever Known.
Okay.
But it was the three original partners we had, Baumgart, Esslinger, Kikus, all okay. Our last names.
I figured it was something like that.
Yeah.
But I like the Best Ever Known better.
Yeah, we bought out one of our partners about 2.5 years ago, I think, maybe three. No Animosity, great guy. Just running companies 24/7, not for everybody. He wanted something more low-key. Gave us a great deal, bought him out, and then now it's just me and Justin.
Sweet. So what do you guys do? What do you special? I mean, it's a moving company, so
yeah, moving and transportation would be our specialty, but it's more turned into like the customer service aspect.
Yeah,
it's what like people. I mean, it's the most stressful thing, you guys know, like mm-hmm. moving.
Right.
I mean, you sell real estate daily,
of course.
People are stressed out. If you take the moving aspect out of it, it makes it so much easier for everybody. So we do full packing, moving, transportation, storage, as well as we'll unpack your boxes for you as well. Just try to make it as easy and seamlessly transparent for the customer as possible.
And what got you into moving? Or what made you decide to start this company?
Well, he's actually, like, I'm a big, strong guy. I can lift boxes.
We can see that.
I picks it up to put it down. So Justin, my business partner, and his nickname's Snoop. I'm going to call him Snoop a lot, okay. Which is where Bloop came up when we get okay. to that point.
Sure.
But he goes, do you want a summer job? Sure. Started, I was like, pretty good at this.
Yeah.
Then every summer and winter I came back from college, came back, did that at 2 Minute Truck. That's where we all started.
Okay.
And then bounced around for a couple other companies doing side jobs and whatnot. And then when I got out of Missouri State, I was doing logistics for a trucking company out in the city. Stopped that, did some more side jobs, and we were starting to lose jobs because we didn't have insurance. We weren't actually accredited. We were just you guys renting trailers, mm-hmm. hooking them up to the back of our pickups and moving. So we put together $6,000 and got a little 16-foot box truck and started there.
Okay. Damn, that's cool. And that was 7 years ago, you said?
Yeah, it'd be 7 years, June 20th.
Damn, dude, it's crazy because, like, you know, it was when I first met you, and you told me about your moving company. I was like, oh, well, I'm in real estate. I need a good move. I didn't have, believe it or not, I've been in the business for, 4 years at that point, and I didn't have like a go-to moving company, which was like kind of crazy looking back on it now, considering how many people, you've like connected on. But now, like right after I met you and you told me, and I saw the BEK truck outside Watson's and I see like your BEK shirt and hat. And I'm like, I started like seeing your trucks all over the place. And it was like that thing, I forget what the name of it is, but like whenever you're looking for a red car, you see red cars.
Reticular activation system.
There you go. Yeah. Whenever I was,
oh yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I started seeing BEK trucks everywhere and I was like, oh damn. Like they're like, it's just funny how that worked out. But, yeah, you guys, I've sent multiple people to Blake and his company, and every single person I've sent to has like come back like raving fans of you guys. So first of all, thank you for that.
And, yeah, I mean, look them up online. You got 300 plus reviews on 4.9 or 4.8 rating on Google and 4.9 with an almost 400 reviews on Facebook. That's pretty damn solid.
Dude, yeah, it's incredible.
I appreciate that. And I mean, you took a chance not even knowing. I mean, I'm sure you did a little bit of research, but I appreciate you just taking a chance, giving me some of the clients.
I liked you. And I was like, well, I'm like, if Blake is this, good of a guy, I mean, I'd gotten to know you for like a few months before I think I sent anybody your way. But like, it was like, I got to know you. And I was like, well, if he's like this and he's like this good of a guy, like I know the work and the people that work for him are probably going to be good too. I just know, I'm just at a feeling, I don't know. I got to know you and I was like, I know he's a good guy. So I know if it goes bad, he's gonna, make it right. And if it's not, if it doesn't, I'll take it out on him on the mat,
Yeah, exactly.
It goes back to that old saying. I mean, you work with the people that like and trust.
For sure. 100%, dude. Yeah. So, thank you for, taking care of all my clients and, it's been awesome. So, what's some goals you have for BEK? Like, is it, are you like, is that something? I don't really know. Is Two Men in a Truck? Like, is that a national thing? Like, are you guys like, grow like nationally? Is that something that's moving companies do? I apologize for my ignorance, but
no, it's no ignorance. So 2 Minute Truck is a national,
okay,
and they're actually moving more towards like containers and stuff like overseas, those like big cargo containers you see.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the goal was always just like, make money.
Make a living, yeah.
And then it got to be, damn, I got 15 people, now I got 20 people, now I got 30 people to get to take care of.
Yeah.
So then it was like, okay, how do we grow it and scale it to where everybody can make a great living instead of just, a couple dollars here and there?
Sure.
That's where we're at right now. We actually were going to close on a property that was about 9 acres in between Peavely and Barnhart, start developing storage units, start growing the business, get a few more trucks.
Dude, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, storage unit is, there's some money in that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like no maintenance.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, I've talked about them before. I got a buddy of mine that owns like 4 storage units and he's just fucking killing it.
You know?
So it's like, you guys are building your own. Like, I love that. That is so cool.
Yeah. The only problem with this one is, we're running into some problems with the city saying they didn't want our business at first. Now they want our business with, stipulations. So that's a never ending battle right now, but we're hoping to get something like that because we've outgrown our office right now.
And where's your office at now?
Arnold, Missouri.
Okay, cool. Yeah, right down the street.
Yeah. right on Telegraph by the A&W.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. We've talked about that. Yeah. Yep. You're right down the street. Awesome. Yeah.
So I'm sure, just like we had to adapt and all that with COVID and all that, how was that for your business? I'm sure that was something that
oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I mean, we're always talking about changes and things within real estate, but I'm sure things are constantly, well, maybe not as much, but I'm sure how did that affect business? How did you guys navigate through that?
Happy ask that question. So as ironic as it is, we were doubling our business every year during COVID.
That's awesome.
Because we didn't shut down when the city said we should. Mm-hmm. We didn't make our guys get the shots, you know, and we finally were telling the customers, listen, if you feel unsafe, we don't have to do the move because we're probably not your company. But, you know, we're waterboarding our guys by making them wear masks when it's 95 degrees outside. Yeah. They're sweating. They can barely breathe. I'm like, they're not going to be able to wear masks. So right. If you're in a high, you know, risk situation, please, you know, find a different company for you. And a lot of people really liked our honesty and we just started growing like wildfire.
That's awesome.
Love that.
Well, that mean to being in Jefferson County, like my office is down there in Imperial. I mean, they stuck to it like, hey, 2 weeks to slow the curve. And then everything went right back to normal. They did that and everything was fine after that. So.
Well, then those fines started coming out that Andy talks about, like we were getting threatened with like 20,000 an employee, nothing like Andy was getting threatened with, but I'm like 20,000 an employee. I'm like, well, come shut us down.
Yeah.
The city's trying to fine you and they're being a bunch of communists.
Yep. And we worked through it and then everything eventually went back to normal.
Yeah.
And here we are. But yeah, for those 2019, 2020, it's like when we really started taking off and we're doubling in size and revenue for those years. And now it's, you know, fighting the economy and what's going on with that, which
sure.
I don't know if you want to go down that rabbit hole or not, but.
Oh
yeah.
I mean, we can. I mean, it's fucking up all of our shit right now.
As a business owner. Yeah. We should talk about that.
I mean, yeah. On our side of things, everybody talks about how good the economy or like, oh, hey, the economy is being resilient. So there's two major factors that affect my business, really. That's inflation and employment data. And what drives me nuts is this employment data that keeps coming out because we're doing better on inflation. But I don't think what people realize, like they can like, oh yeah, we're going to get back to 2% and things are going to be great. No, that just means it's 2% higher than what it was after it just climbed 9%. Like we need deflation. Like we need shit to deflate, to help bring back those costs. Everybody thinks that these costs are going to go down once inflation hits this peak. And that's not the case. Okay. The prices that we have now is what we're going to see moving forward. And it's only going to go up by the goal 2% per year, wherever the Fed came up with that dumbass number, but it is what it is.
It's baked into the cake at this point.
Yeah, no, I mean, I forgot. I was reading something. And, but apparently it was just some number that was just thrown out in a Fed meeting. Mm-hmm. Let's shoot for 2%. Like, why not zero? You know, why not keep inflation at zero?
But we just like get rid of the Fed.
Yeah. I mean, right?
Well, I mean, yeah. They pretty much made up a new definition for
everything.
Recession.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. They made it up to fit what they needed to so that we wouldn't look like we're in a recession.
Right. I mean, our guys, like we're doing everything we can, but it's like, we're at a max. We can't raise their salary anymore because it's going to completely destroy us. Yeah. So right. It's like something's got to give before all small businesses start really going out. Luckily me and Justin, we put back like 80% of what we make profitability.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily we've had it because beginning of this year, I'm sure you were slow at the beginning of this year.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were in the red for the first time ever for the first 2 months of the year.
Really?
It's never happened before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was slower. I mean, I did all right January and February, but I mean, I'm really picking up now and I'm sure you.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, now. Well, so if I'm having a busy month now, you're going to have a busy month next month. That's how it's going to go. But no, so like for BE, like what is your responsibilities at this point? I'm sure like when it first started out, you were probably like you're in there moving boxes and moving stuff. Like is your like responsibilities now like kind of meeting and pricing out the jobs or are you like driving truck? Like what's your day to day kind of like?
I like to say I'm a little bit of a jack of all trades, but me and Justin have been moving more into like the actual ownership position because I had a hard time like trying to micromanage everything. Mm-hmm. And I finally put managers in charge of certain people, certain tasks to free up my time to be able to do stuff or else like I would never be here right now.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, I mean, it's still day-to-day operations, getting people, you know, making sure they're doing the right things, but it's managing my managers now, coming to them with my new ideas, putting things in place with them, having them, we're rewriting our guidelines, what people need to do to get their raises, as well as just overall policies for our company. We're a little bit loose on that, needed to tighten that up.
Mm. Now, is this something that you learned through going through the Ariat Syndicate? Ariat?
Arate. Yeah, I mean, I did the MFCEO since it started.
Okay,
yeah,
me
then,
too.
And then Arate, and then, I mean, just the networking I've met through Arate. I mean, I have people that have nine-figure companies that I literally can call weekly or biweekly if I want to for advice. And they don't, they just want you to help. What I've really noticed with Arete is everybody wants you to do better because they want you to be on their level. So, you know, you can enjoy that with them and do things with them that they can only do. And it's been really, really, it's been a blessing is what it's been. Like what Andy and Ed have put together is truly something special.
And for the listeners that don't know, do you want to explain what Arete is?
Yeah, Arete. So it's a Greek word for excellence or yeah. And basically what it is, it's a bunch of entrepreneurships in the group. You have to apply for it. Then they either accept you or deny you. And you have like you have different events you do throughout the year that you can go to, different summits. And then it's like a Facebook group where you just talk about, you can bring your problems there, post it, and people that might have 20 years of experience will just give you advice on what worked for them, what didn't work for them. Or I've been literally DM'd by people like, hey, give me a call, let's talk about it. And then after I've talked to some of these guys, I've looked it up, I'm like, a nine-figure company, like holy hell, you
yeah,
called
you just
me
talk like, to him like he's an
it's crazy kid, you know? Yeah, it's crazy. And what it made me realize is like all these rich people have such a horrible rap and all these successful people have such a horrible rap, and that's not what it is. It's the media portraying, oh, that you shouldn't be successful because you turn into a rich asshole.
Right?
No, you don't.
No, not at all.
All it does is amplify who you are internally.
Money makes you more of what you are.
It really does.
Yeah, it's kind of like alcohol, you know.
It's funny that you said that. Too, because that's too. Like Tim Grover touches on that in the foreword that he wrote for that book about how, talking about Andy and how he's portrayed and comes across in some of his stuff.
What is Grover's book?
Relentless.
Relentless.
Yeah,
Relentless.
Winning. And Winning, yeah.
I haven't read Winning. I've read Relentless.
Relentless is about Jordan. Winning is about Kobe.
Yep. Okay. And they're both awesome.
They're amazing.
I need to read Absolutely Winning. Awesome. Maybe we should do that next month.
Yeah.
I'll drop off my copy too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sick. No, but yeah, so we do a, you know, book of the month. We've been doing it since we started the show. We read a book together, like Pat and I do, and then, you know, we invite our listeners to read it along with us. And then at the end of the month, we just like do a podcast, just like all talking about, you know, our favorite parts about the book. So it's just kind of been something we do. But this month we're doing the Andy's book. So
yeah, I got off 75 hard right before.
Yeah, I remember that. Right before the tournament, right?
Or no, I was on it during the tournament.
Oh, shit.
I got up, did my ruck in the morning, and then went and did the tournament. And then got done with the tournament and when it worked out. And crazy. Dude, my feet were so
bro, your feet
up.
Were, I've showed so many people pictures of your feet because your feet were like so scat. Like, cause like, especially the Fuji's, Fuji's a tournament, a local jiu-jitsu tournament. Well, they're not local. They go all over the country, but, they're the ones that I would say most people, they're like a good kind of like beginner level tournament, I would say. Like a lot of people that first start off, like do Fuji's, just cause they're cheaper and they kind of go everywhere. And their mats are like really rough
sandpaper.
Like, yeah, dude. Like they put this what's called tatami on the top of it, and it's good for grip. Like when you get sweaty and you're on your bare feet, because like if you know like the mats at Kyle's, like when you get sweaty, you get pretty slippery. But like also you don't rip your like the tops of your feet and get all this mat burn all over. So, but anyway, Blake had like just like his feet. He sent us pictures like the day or the night of, and they were just like covered
just
in band-aids and yeah.
Oh, I didn't wear shoes to work for like 3 days. Oh. I was just walking around the office barefoot.
I was like, can you imagine?
Neosporin all over
just,
the place.
Just soaking them in petroleum jelly, huh?
Yeah, we were, you know, because it always hurts when you get in the shower.
Right.
You know? Well, I was like, bro, wait till you get in a shower tonight. It's going to hurt so bad.
Well, it was funny because Kyle and Trevor took a so Kyle's the coach and the head of Watson's Martial Arts, and then Trevor's just
amazing coach. He's the, you know, number two in command, I would say, or you know, the assistant coach. If Kyle's the head coach, he's like the assistant,
right?
You know?
So me and Trevor came up with a game plan, and then I bought a private from him,
mm-hmm.
and we drilled it, and everything we drilled, cake work. Went in 15-0, 16-0, 15-0, 16-0.
Yeah, he did really good.
And Kyle's over there. He's like, hey, you're up 15-0. And I look up and I'm like, damn, I got like a minute and 45, almost 2 minutes left. But I'm in mount. I'm sitting there. This guy's just dragging my feet across the mat back and forth. But I'm not moving. I'm like, you got to get me off of you. Like, I'm not moving at all.
Right. Oh, yeah, dude, that was you did really good in that last tournament.
I appreciate
that. We
were
so proud of you. It was awesome. It was really, that was your second, third, second or third tournament?
My first one was the IBJJF.
Right. I remember that.
I cut 18 pounds going to Kansas City.
Yeah.
That was a miserable tournament.
Yeah.
So, I should have listened to Kyle and just not done it.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Hey. I signed up for the wrong weight class. I messed up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all good. So Now, since we're on the subject, I'm just curious, what made you want to start jiu-jitsu?
So
was it Bill, right?
Yeah. So Bill's known me since I was like 16 years old. I used to hoop with him. And then my boy Taylor that you met that came up for that tournament.
Yeah.
So he's been training martial arts down and ever since we went to Missouri State together. He was a stick up with me at Missouri State.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And I always wanted to try it and then never did it. Then he moved down to Texas. Then I asked Bill for like 3 years straight to take me up there. And finally I was like, listen, dude, I asked him like 3 days in a row, like 2 to 3 times. And I'm like, either take me up there, man, or I'm going somewhere else. And he took me up there and I was like, this is my place.
Yeah. Dude.
And then I went to the next night and then I bought a 2-year membership. Then a year and I bought a lifetime membership. Like this is, I tell you what, you want to learn how to deal with stress in uncomfortable situations, go get on the mat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been trying to get me out there. It's right now.
You just got to jump in, man.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And they're like, you got to do it at least twice a week in order to really make the most of it. And, you know, being a single dad and the way my schedule works out is I have my kids every 2 days. And I also play hockey and I coach a 16U baseball team. So juggling all that, trying to find the time and adding that in, maybe once hockey's over with, jumping into that because I'll need something to offset what I was doing with that. But
sure,
I would say I definitely want to get into it.
Sure. I mean, Coach Ralph, by the way. So I'd say best thing about that I really noticed is once you start putting in time, once you start getting to know everybody at this gym, it's a family is what it is. Mm-hmm. It really is. And we've got two other affiliate gyms, Head Nod and Revive. You can go train open mats there.
Mm-hmm.
And those coaches are amazing as well. And it's just the brotherhood of it that picked up, like I'd say about my third month when people realized I wasn't just a flash in the pan and going to leave.
Well, that's the thing is like, especially in my, cause Blake was in my class for, you know, you're, so I teach like the beginner class at our school. And
it took me 3 months to get out of that.
Well, that's what everybody does. You're supposed to be in it for 3 months.
Oh, then I don't
usually
feel bad.
Unless you're like a freak, like guy, or unless you're a guy that like wrestled his whole life or something like that's, you know, then those guys usually kind of move on a little bit quicker, but most people are in there for 3 months. Really. It's supposed to be 3 months. But anyway, he came into my class and, you know, and whenever you come in, a lot of people come in and, you know, they show up for like a couple classes and then you never see them again, or they show up, you know, for 2 weeks and then you don't see them for a week and then they come back for another week and then you don't see them for two. And, you know, so it's like, I don't get super invested in people until like in, you know, quite frankly, even remember people's names until like they start showing up consistently. And, you know, and I know that they're not just going to be kind of a one and done kind of guy. And I mean, I knew pretty quickly that you were going to be someone who stuck around, you know, just, well, first of all, cause like every single class you always asked, like you had very good questions. You were always like very involved in like what I was showing and stuff and always had like great questions and stuff. So I definitely noticed right away, like, oh, this is going to be someone who like he's fallen in love with it for sure. Cause there's like, you get the kind of bit by the bug. At least that's how I felt when I first started. I was like, man, once I started this, I was like, I'm never not doing this as long as I can. You know,
what'd you say was a good age to get kids into it?
I mean,
I've got a 4 and 5 year old. I would love to get them into it now because they're
I think it starts at like 4 or 5, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
if that's the case, then all three of us will be up there.
Yeah. There you go.
My marketing director, both of his girls did it for like a year. We're going to competitions, just killing it. Yeah. And then they kind of stopped for a little bit. And I'm hoping they get back into it because I was watching them on there. I'm like, I got to start this.
Yeah. Like, on, man. Yeah. Especially like you know, you meet such great people. It's like it's a hell of a fucking workout, and like you learn such a good skill to have. I mean, it could save your life, you know, one day. I mean, I like to think that if an altercation happened in the street and there's not a firearm involved, I feel like I'd be all right, you know. And and just having that confidence in your day-to-day life, there's something to that.
A lot of people don't realize exactly how helpless you are. If a higher level bulk gets a hold of you and you don't know what you're doing, I still kind of know what I'm doing. And some of these guys get a hold of me and I'm like, thanks for taking it easy on me.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, Zach, what was that? You're going to make it a requirement in this house to be at least a purple belt.
You have to be at least a purple belt. That's why I heard that. I heard that someone else, I think it was Instagram somewhere, that was like, that's a requirement in my house. You have to have at least a purple belt, you know, girls too. Like, you know, you can stop training after purple, but I think by purple belt, you've got a good understanding of, like, being able to defend yourself. I mean, I think even below that, you probably have a good idea how to defend yourself. But I think a purple belt against an untrained person should just be a given. Like, the purple belt's winning no matter what happens, unless there's firearms involved.
Right. Well, my buddy Brandon came up, and I introduced him to everybody, and I let him borrow that show Rolgi that I have. Yeah. And I'm like, you're going to come back? Because he only came one class. And he's like, yeah, dude, I just got to get done with teaching my kids wrestling. So that, yeah. like, I get that. Like, there's multiple things going on. And the very first time he's like, you want to warm up? I go, yeah, sure, man. How do you want to start? He goes, I don't care. You want to start standing? I go, well, there's not really a whole lot of room in the advanced classes going on. So why don't we just see the verse standing?
Yeah.
So he like jumps on me and I'm like, damn, I was really like this, like just a million miles an hour. And I'm like, hey, slow down. He's like, why? And I go, because you're going to gas out, dude. Yeah. He's like, well, I'm out of shape. I go, regardless, you're going to gas out. I don't care if you're in shape. You're not going to be able to keep this up. So then he slows down. I get him an X.
Yeah.
I pull him down. And he goes, hold on, hold on. I go, what? He goes, I'm fucked. I go, yeah, you're in a lot of trouble. Right now. Yeah, for sure. And he goes, can we restart? I go, sure.
Sure.
Can we restart?
And you did the same thing.
Sweep him, put him down. I get on top of him. He's like,
how do you keep doing that?
Can we start over again? I go, yeah, we can start over again. So then we slowly did it. And it was really cool because Jason was teaching that night. Mm-hmm. So we went up there. I go, Jason, do you care if I crash the basics class? He goes, no, you can come in here and teach with me. I was like, damn. I'm in there teach. Oh. So me and Brandon did one-on-one, and then I was kind of looking over and helping out the guys next to him. And it was cool to see it come full circle to where, like, not that I know what I'm really doing by any means.
But you know more than a guy on his first day.
To be able to teach him some basics. And it was really cool to go back to basics. I'm like, damn, I forgot to maybe put my hand here or keep my weight here. And it's like those little things. And I'm sure you just fine tune the rest of your life.
Oh,
no matter
bro,
how
I'm still
you get.
Doing that right. 5.5 years into this. Like, oh my God, I've been doing this pass wrong all 5 years. Like, the other day, or this was like revolutionized, like the way my takedown game. This was about like 6 months ago. Nick and I, my main training partner, him and I were like, we were doing the inside trip wrong for like a year and a half. Like, we were just shooting on the wrong leg. And I was like, oh, like if I shoot on the leg, that leg, it makes way more sense for me to do it. Like, I've been just doing this wrong the whole time. And like, there's little things like that you do and you just catch yourself on, or like, you just, oh, there's, you're never going to, that's another thing that's awesome about it is you're never going to figure it all out. You're going to always, there's always going to be a new thing to learn. I'm sure you could talk to Kyle, and I'm sure there's probably something that, you know, he's like, oh, well, I don't really know a lot about this, or I'm not so good at this. I'm sure there's, you know, I mean, he's been doing it for 25 years.
Kyle's minutia is insane.
It's insane.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah, I mean, his level of knowledge in jiu-jitsu, and even at his level, I'm sure he'll be probably the first to tell you there's stuff that he's not an absolute expert in, or something he's not so good at, you know, and there's always something you can be getting better at. And that's what's so fun about it. It's just endless.
Another thing about Watson's, I mean, you can train essentially 7 days a week. Like, there's mm-hmm. always a class. Mm-hmm. And even out there, like, once you get in there, like, there's open roles on the weekends and stuff. So there's a lot of opportunities. I mean, whenever I go out of town, I try to train everywhere just to see how our techniques work against other schools and mm-hmm. stuff. But getting into a class outside of this, it's like they have like two classes 3 times a week, and mm-hmm. those are your options. And it's like,
right. And that's another thing is like, you're just the, anytime I've trained anywhere else, I'm always like, I come home and I'm like, oh God, thank God. I've got it so good. We've got it so good here. Like, it's just, I've never been to a gym other than ours. You know, I've probably traveled to, you know, 5 or 6 different gyms in other places probably. So I haven't seen a ton, but every single time I've gone somewhere else, I'm like, oh man, you know, nothing compares to what we have at home. You know, at least that's how I feel. It's been great.
I agree.
Yeah. So
I'm sold.
Yeah. Yeah. If we didn't sell jiu-jitsu for you there, I don't know what.
Well, that and Merv posting about Never Back Down, I actually went and watched it last night, and the boys and I were watching it.
Oh, I'm sure they loved it.
They loved it. They've watched UFC with me, and they liked that. And I'm like, like I said, Oliver loves to wrestle, loves that whole being physical side of things. Connor maybe not so much, so it might be good for him to toughen him up a little bit, but I'm excited. I want to get them both into it, and I want to get into it. I think you and I've been talking about this for a few years now, and just figuring out really making the time and the time commitment to it. I mean,
it is a time commitment for sure. Like you said earlier, like you gotta be able to go at least 2 days a week to really get anything out of it. I mean,
right.
I would say even more if you can't, obviously. And I think the more, I mean, Blake will tell you this too, like, because he's there all the fucking time too. You know, you get addicted to it. Like, it's a fun. It's a
my mess. Girlfriend's like, I thought you went last night. I go, which she doesn't know. Junior's teaching tonight, which is another one of our black belts from Revive, and I'm like,
are you going back?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I forgot about it, and Kyle said it, and I was like, damn, and I got to bring it to her, which she doesn't know yet.
Yeah.
But I'm, the going,
I'm definitely going back at six.
Well, yeah. This won't come out till Thursday, so she won't know. She won't find out from us.
I was planning on going to open mat with you today, and then I had something with work come up, so I was like, well, I'm just going to go tonight then. And it worked out perfectly because Junior's coming to teach. So, that'll be great. So you've dabbled in some real estate investing. I'd love to kind of touch on that. Let's hear what do you got going on?
So since this is like development for everybody podcast, don't think you can just jump into real estate and roll around and be with the big dogs, because it's not that easy. We found out the hard way for properties out in North County, not thinking it was a 45-50 minute drive to just get out there.
Yeah.
We thought we were going to rehab them ourselves. Let's just say 2 years later, we finally got them rented.
Oh, wow.
And then now we're getting ready to actually sell them. And we learned a lot of valuable lessons over the past 2 years.
I'm sure. Like what?
First of all, don't think everything has to be perfect. Don't ever just buy it. We bundled them, got a good deal on them.
So you bought four houses? Correct. Single families?
Correct. Okay. All from the same guy. And he knocked off like, I want to say like $60,000 or $70,000 for us. So we bought all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start digging in there, man, we were ripping up baseboards like all the way down, having to pull out black mold kills, then putting in new subfloor.
Were these houses rented when you bought them, or they're
no,
vacant?
They were vacant.
Okay.
But they'd only been vacant for like a few months. So we didn't think it was going to be hard to rehab. Then we had AC units start getting stolen.
Oh, boy.
Houses getting broken into, squatters in there.
Oh, geez.
I mean, it literally, this is the best learning experience I could have possibly had.
Yeah.
And then this one, then the next one, like the 24 unit I bought with Ian, I'm like, at least I got somebody who knows what he's doing this time.
Sure. Yeah. So you bought the four units, you and Justin, or the four single families, and you're trying to sell those.
We're out. Under contract right now.
Oh, cool.
Sold. And congrats. Then we've made a lot of really good connections though through it. Like now I have you, I've asked you for some really good advice, and then some other people, Shelby Hall, I don't know if you know her.
Yeah, yeah, I know Shelby very well.
I went to college with her. She was at Missouri State with us. Yeah.
Holy cow. Me and Shelby, that's small world.
I go, is this Shelby? As I call her. And she goes,
well, not all the time.
Hold on, is this Blake Baumgart? I go, yeah, she goes, Shelby Hall. I go, talk about some serendipity stuff, man. Like,
yeah.
I cannot believe, like, yeah, and here we are.
Yeah, we've done a couple deals together, and she's great. You know, she's like one of those agents that whenever she calls, like, it always turns into a 15-20 minute conversation, you know, just because like we just start bullshitting about, you know, venting about people, you know, deals that we have going on and people that we're dealing with and stuff. And she's great.
I'm actually meeting her for lunch later on this week to, nice. She's going to talk to me about some of the stuff with the properties as well as some stuff coming up. Another thing, occupancy and inspectors.
Oh God. Yeah.
They're some of these inspectors are lucky I haven't given them some act right.
Yeah, what part of town in North town?
Glasgow Orson? Village. Like, okay. It's not a nice area at all.
Yeah.
And he's, like, anal about everything getting fixed. I'm like, dude, we just put 20 grand into this property. Like, mm-hmm. Looks great. Like, we're renting it out to low-income families. And you're going to nickel and dime me on these little things that you want fixed? Like, dude, just let me run it.
Yeah.
It just amazes me. I know all the cities got to make their money, but
sure.
Damn, that another learning.
Oh, bro, there, dude. The municipalities have caused me. I mean, you're preaching to the choir, bro. small, and it seems like the smaller they are, the bigger of a pain in the ass they are. Unless it's St. Louis County, because St. Louis County can be pretty tough too. But St. Louis City, like, that's a cakewalk usually. You know, St. Louis City is like notoriously pretty easy to deal with. In my experience, St. Louis County has been very like. Pretty well. But here's the thing: for every single one of them, man, it seems like it totally depends on what inspector you get. Because I've had, you know, I know there's a couple St. Louis County inspectors. When I see their car pull up, you know, like this dude, I know this guy's gonna like ruin my day. Because every time he shows up, he's got to find like 15 fucking things that are wrong, and it's just like he gets off by knocking shit on your inspection. So. But anyway, it just seems like the smaller the municipality, the more of a pain in the ass that I've had personally, but not always true, but most of the time.
Yeah. Who is it that we had? Not to say any names, but your family friend built a new construction and they were selling their basement and was it the AC or
no, it was the
furnace.
No. They
did it themselves.
They own a contracting. They own like a small like home remodel company, and when they finished their basement, he put the electric in himself. He put like,
so just, no permit.
Yeah, exactly. And
we went through that the hard way too.
Thankfully, we were able to. They knew the electric. They had a buddy that was an electrician and was able to kind of back. He kind of went in and basically backdated it that he did it, and ended up working out all right. So, but hey, they're not all that easy. Like I remember my very first. Oh God, I feel so bad about this. It still like hurts me to my core. It's like today, and it was my very first deal I ever closed. It was a first time home buyer. He bought this house over in Afton for like just under $100,000. It was move in ready. Like he could have moved into it, but like, you know, you definitely could have done, like it definitely needed some work. But there was this really nice deck built off the back, and the deck looked like it was in good shape. But my client, the deal was he was going to buy it as is in its current condition. No occupancy inspection, nothing like that. So he was going to do that all on his own after closing. And then, you know, he's a young guy, not a ton of money, and he closes and then like calls me 2 weeks later. He had scheduled his St. Louis County inspection. And they're like, yeah, Zach, St. Louis County was just here. And, they said the deck was built without a permit. So I have to tear it. They said I have to tear it down and rebuild it. Or I have to either tear it down. Basically he telling him that he had to take down the deck. And he was just, I mean, it looked fine. I mean, I'm not a deck expert by any means, but it wasn't falling down. We were walking around on it. It wasn't wobbling. It would look like a pretty solid deck. But anyway, they made him take it down, and I just felt so bad for him. Cause I mean, you know, it was part of the deal. It wasn't like anything that I did. He knew what he was getting into as far as, but I mean, you just can't predict that kind of thing. You know, whenever someone's buying it, you don't know if the county, you know, and the deck didn't look exactly brand new, you know, so it wasn't like it was freshly done, you know, it was probably a couple of years old, but it was in still solid shape. And, he just kind of got screwed there, unfortunately. But it's one of those ones that I look back on, I'm like, fuck, it hurts me.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean,
that is what it is.
Thinking back, I mean, that's what it took to win deals. And, you know, I think I always go back, I always circle back with clients that were complaining, you know, about interest rates going up, and I'm like, well, let's go back. Here's an article from, it was like CNBC or MSNBC or something like that. They interviewed 1,000 home buyers, and 72% of them, they were interviewing people that bought in 21 when rates were the lowest they ever were. And like it was 72% of those people regret their purchase. And one of the main reasons was because they didn't get to do inspections and all these major, cost came up after the fact. But I mean, that's what it took to win. That's what it took to get you into a house back then. And, you know, we were, you know, trying to talk to people about buying now. And it's like, well, hey, you're not having to worry about that. You can still do inspections. Maybe not now, but you know, last year, 2022, but you know,
yeah, not anymore though.
No,
back. It's coming back.
We're back. Yeah. We're seeing back a repeat. Now. I think this year is going to be like 2020. Next year is going to be like 2021. Once we start seeing rates back into the fives.
Yeah, it's starting to get crazy out there. You think we're
going to be back in the fives?
Yeah, I think we might. I think we'll be back in the fives. I don't know if we'll be back in the fives by the end of this year, but definitely next year.
Yep. I hope you're right.
Me too. Me too. Yeah.
No, inflation.
Holding on.
Inflation has remained flat. Obviously, they want to get it to 2%, which we're at 2.6 or 2.7%. Based on what they're looking at. And so that's why we haven't seen any rate cuts yet, because inflation has kind of stalled. I think it's a rolling average, rolling 12 months. So we'll start replacing some numbers from last year that was slightly higher. That should help that drop a little bit in the next few months. But and then once we really start getting these jobs reports, and I mean, one, the BLS is just a survey done, and they could pick the wrong million people to survey, and it could come back looking better than what it was. I mean,
what's the BLS?
Bureau of Labor Statistics. Okay. The one that's more accurate is ADP, because they're looking at 2 million companies that use ADP as their payroll. And that's more accurate, obviously, because they're pulling from actual data 2 million people or 2 million companies. But the last jobs report we got last week showed that they were all projecting like 150 for ADP and 180 for BLS, and BLS came in at like 300,000 jobs created. I'm like, where the fuck are these jobs? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Part-time white collar in government.
Yeah. And so as soon as we start seeing those numbers change, that's when we'll really start to see rates drop. And for whatever reason, like you mentioned, they redefined recession. You know, I personally think we are in one, and they just haven't said it yet. And usually you don't find out you're in a recession until you're in a recession. And I think when that happens, and I think when they finally do admit it, we're going to see rates always drop during recession. So we'll start to see that drop too. So,
But anyway, so you just bought a 24 unit with Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
I mean, more learning curve for me. Yeah. Ian did all the numbers and stuff, and he's actually been great because he's teaching me instead of just me guessing. Mm-hmm. I'm learning now.
Sure.
But, I mean, we just transferred over. We just closed on it, and, you know, first one is tracking down the rents because we're new landlords, and now everything's going to different
accounts,
you know, yeah, accounts and stuff. So that's what we're working on right now. We've got
Dutchtown, right?
Yeah, Dutchtown. Yeah, I think we've got two or three more of the units that have to be rehabbed.
Okay.
But it's like 80 or 85% already rehabbed for us, which is cool. Yeah, it was already cash flowing and everything. So it's like, it was a no brainer to do this one. So it's just, you know, first couple of months are probably going to be a little rocky.
Sure.
And then we should be going good.
That's a big step, you know, going from, you know, four single family units to a 24, you know, that's awesome.
Especially when it was BEK and Bloop Real Estate
sure.
money to my own personal 100%. Savings like that. That was, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's the thing about this is like, I mean, you did something that I advise most people. I mean, you know, really anybody getting started is like, there's nothing wrong with partnering with someone who knows what the fuck they're doing, you know, and that's a key to a lot of it. You know, at least I've partnered on almost every real estate investing venture I've ever gone on is I've always been partnered with someone else. And it does, you know, there's a lot of benefits to that is, you know, one of them being like, you know, two heads are better than one, or, you know, you've got someone else in there that's, you know, might have more experience with you, more experience than you in just real estate investing in general, or they've got a skill set that you don't have. Like, that's one thing that I think that I've got really with one of my partners who I'm kind of most active with right now is like him and I have very like differing skill sets. Like, he's the numbers, like analytical spreadsheet guy. And I'm kind of the guy that kind of like runs around town and gets everything done. You know, like that's kind of how we operate. And because that's the stuff that I think I'm good at. I'm good at, you know, meeting people, finding deals, and, you know, kind of formulating everything that needs to get done. And he's more of the like analytical guy, you know, figuring out the numbers, because that's the shit that like bores me to tears is like spreadsheets. So that's something he's very good at, and something that I don't really like to do. So it works out well. And I, you know, I advise anybody that's looking to get started in like real estate investing is like, there's nothing wrong with partnering with someone. I mean, yeah, you're going to end up splitting, you know, there's always going to be some sort of split, you know, sometimes it's 50-50, sometimes it's not, sometimes it's, you know, there's many different ways that you can kind of break it up and share the money. But, you know, I think experience is very, very important when it comes to real estate investing, because as you've learned, it's pretty easy to get burned, you know?
I mean, as you said, that was a great point you just brought up. And that's why Justin and I have been so successful together and still remain best friends,
mm-hmm.
is we're literally polar opposite people. I mean, we enjoy doing the same things, but when it comes down to it, I'm OCD, he's procrastinator, I'm cutthroat, he's more laid back. Like,
mm-hmm.
we both bring something different to the table, and I really think that's why all the companies have been successful as they have. I mean, not only that, the people we've hired, like, we have some of the best people in the world that are just great hard workers, just step up constantly for us. And I mean, you can't teach worth ethic. I can teach you how to move. I can teach you how to run certain operating systems. I can't teach you to be a hard worker.
That's kind of just a prerequisite, man. Like, right. If you want to be successful, I mean, you just need to be a hard worker.
Oh, and that hiring's hard on anything. I mean, what uh-huh. is it that you're looking for in terms of, you know, I mean, I always talk like in our business, and when I'm looking for my team, I'm always looking at athletes, just because athletes, you know, especially ones that have been successful at higher levels, just because obviously it takes a certain level of dedication and hard work and determination and resilience to get to a high level of being an athlete. So, you know, I've looked at I'm growing my team, and a lot of that, like I said, I'm having a hard time doing that just because it's hard to find those people. what is it that you're looking for? How do you go about when it comes to hiring? Where are you finding your people? How are you, what's your hiring process like?
So that's been a, it's been something we've actually been working on recently, and the evolution of it's actually kind of funny because I take some things I learn, but I mean, it used to be like you come in, sign these papers and then jump on the truck. Either you're going to make it or you're not. Either you're going to be able to move the furniture or you're not. Like, it's not an easy job. Mm-hmm. But now we're more, as we interview, seeing what they want, their goals 2 to 5 years from now, those type of things. Mm-hmm. As the goal is, as we expand the company, you know, more management positions, bigger roles, bigger pay for everybody. That way we can do things like that. So we bring that to the table for them. But it's mostly referral from the guys we have at our company, which is why we have such a great culture, because some of these guys, they won't invite their friends because they know that it's not the place for them. They know they're not going to make it, and they know we're just going to be like, hey, thanks for coming out, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd say, what do we look for the most? Just work ethic, honestly, because I can teach you the rest. It's going to take you time and you'll learn, but as long as you're a hard worker and you're willing to put in the time. Yeah.
That's what I was, I'm like, I can teach, like I said, I can teach anybody to be a good loan officer. Right. It's really not a difficult job. People make it harder than what it is, but if you have the work ethic, doing this job is not tough. Right. So
I always say the same thing about being a real estate agent too. It's like, it's not that hard. I mean, once you've got the process down, you understand, like, that's one thing I've learned as I've like kind of grown in my business. Like, no matter whether I'm selling $100,000 house or $1 million house, like, the process is the same, you know, obviously paychecks are different, but the process is the same, and it's just all about, you know, learning how to do that. And then really it's just a people business. I mean, being good with people is, I mean, I don't care what business you're in. I mean, it's going to be an asset, especially in your business. That's one thing that I've really appreciated with you is, I mean, everybody I've sent over to you guys has just been like, they've just raved about like how nice the guys are, how good of, you know, how well that you guys take care of their stuff, and just like how, like, you just have a system, and just like it just makes it super easy. And, you know, like you said at the beginning of the show, like, hey, moving is fucking stressful. It sucks, and everybody hates it. So, you know, having a guy like you in my corner has helped me significantly.
Especially with the attention to detail when it comes to service, if you guys are going to unpack everything for everyone too. I mean, I haven't moved that much, but every single time, I think that's the thing I look forward to least is unpacking and making it feel like this is where shit goes now.
Well, I've seen, like, you know, things on Instagram, because I've never like been there while you guys are actually moving furniture, but I see, like, you know, I follow you guys on Instagram, and I see, like, you guys, like, you know, even like cover corners and like shit like that, like stuff that's just like, you're not fucking up the house as you're, because I feel like that's when most like a ton of times houses get damaged is when people are moving in and out. And, you know, just protecting that house that's about to be sold, or that, you know, I'm sure you've had some mishaps, I would imagine, you know, and I'm sure in certain instances where, you know, bad things happen, but, I don't know where I'm trying to go with this, but I appreciate that you guys always like seem to like protect the house, you know, like I just see you guys taping the corners and covering stuff on the floors and all this other stuff. And I just think that's awesome. I don't know if ever any other moving companies do that, but I feel like that's just an awesome touch that you guys do.
No, I mean, you hit it. Nail on the coffin, or
nail on the
right, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, to kind of go back, because there's a few things I want to unload. Yeah. There is, like, it's step one, of course, like you got to get the customer to either fill out the survey, but the girls we have in the office, I mean, they go above and beyond every time, which is why we get a lot of these moves booked. Then it's on us to make sure we do a good job. And what you're referring to are door jams that we put around there, and then we pad the front door, we roll down the floor runners, which we call it red carpet service because they're red.
Yeah.
And then it's going that extra step of padding and stuff. And I always tell the customers, I'm like, you control your own bill. If you want to disassemble all your stuff, great. It might save you an hour, a couple hundred dollars. If you don't want to, we'll disassemble and reassemble everything for you. We'll pack your whole house and unpack it. You control your own bill. And that's really what it comes down to, is like, what do you want out of your moving experience? Because I can custom tailor your moving experience for what you need. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we've done so successful. But what you said about the 300 or 400 five-star reviews, I cannot stand Yelp and Google, because most of those are on the back page and customers don't even see it. But the few one-star reviews, because you can't make every customer happy.
Sure.
Those show up on the front page nice and easy. But those five-star ones, we'll put those on the back page.
All good.
Yeah, this loan officer, he said he got a one-star review. And he was just like, He's like, it's fine because it just validates all the other 5-star reviews.
What's the ratio?
Right. I mean, he's had, hundreds of 5-star reviews to 1 1-star review.
Yeah.
So it's like that 1 1-star review just validates everything else that everybody else is saying.
If you had a perfect score, it would look disingenuous.
Right.
Like, what are you doing these yourself?
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I actually enjoy explaining to customers how the 1-star works.
Good.
Actually, 3 of the 5 1-star reviews we have on, I think it's Yelp, were for other moving companies. We literally show them as for other moving companies, and Yelp still keeps them on there.
I don't know anyone who even uses Yelp anymore, for real.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like everything that I go is like word of mouth, you know?
Yeah.
Take someone says a restaurant's good, or they say somewhere I need to go here, or I need to try this moving company.
I'd say 95% of our business is referral based.
Yeah, that's the best kind.
Friend of a friend.
Yeah, that's the best kind. So, I mean, that's most of my businesses too. I was literally talking to another agent on the way over here, or on the way here, on the way home. He was messaging me because I just signed another listing this morning, and he was like, "How are you? You know, how do you get all your leads?" And he's like, "Are you paying for them? Because it's, you know, and you can pay for buyer and seller leads." I did early in my career, and I found out pretty quickly that wasn't what I wanted to do.
It's not sustainable.
No, dude. And like every single one of them, there's just no loyalty. There's no, like,
it's not organic.
Yeah. No. And like, you know, I just feel like they've never worked well for me. And, you know, about a year and a half, 2 years ago is when I was like, all right, I am completely done. I'm never paying for leads ever again. And I'm just going to solely focus on my tribe and the people I work with and my community and my sphere of influence and all the people that I know and like all the people I've worked with, because those are the people that, I mean, those are my favorite people to work with, the people that are like my friends or like my family or like the people that I already work with. And that's just something that's changed for me. And the referrals are the best. So you're in a fraternity in college. We talked about this earlier. Yep. We were actually, I mean, you were there a couple years after me. You're 35. I'm 31. So yeah, I guess you're, well, maybe
we were there at the same time.
What year did you
graduate? 11 was when I finally graduated.
Okay, so we weren't
basically a doctor, you know.
Yeah,
a doctor in moving.
Yeah, dude, Springfield, man, that was a good time down there. And we were talking because right before the show started about all the bars down there that we used to go to. We all used to frequent the same bars.
Did you guys go to Ray's?
Hell yeah, Ray's Rattlers.
Oh, Ray's, yeah, Ray's Bar. Yeah,
next to Hy-Vee. Get in there,
yeah,
with a ID that said I was 6'2", 240 pounds, shaved head. Yeah, that's what he let me in the front door with.
Yeah, I remember the reason what makes me think of Ray's is when I was a pledge at my fraternity. Like, it was a Wednesday nights. We had we had a thing we had to do. We had clean up is what we called it at the fraternity, where we had to go and, you know, at the pledge, it was our night to clean the house. And, you know, when you're a pledge, you do a lot of shitty stuff, but you get, basically, I always looked at it as you had a semester of, you know, kind of bullshit to deal with, but then you had, you know, the rest of your college career, you had a lot of perks. So, you know, we had to clean the house every Wednesday. And I remember, that was a night that, that was like Ray's, I think, had like some sort of pitcher special or something. And I just remember people just coming.
We were just talking about that on the golf trip.
Hammered.
It's 25-cent Ray Rattlers.
That's what just, it was.
Yeah. You mean Robitussin?
Yeah. Whatever the hell it was. But yeah, it was.
That bar can't still be there.
There's no way. There's no way. I mean, shit. Trolley's is gone. Icon's gone. Fedora is gone. Bubbles, all of them, like you said, are gone. And there's no way Ray's can still be there.
Yeah, there's no way.
I think it's
shipping. Not.
Well, these guys. Did you ever go to the Creek?
Oh, yeah. I used to bounce there.
Okay.
Which was more like, if I knew you, you got in. If I didn't know you, you paid me money, and then you still got in.
Yeah. So
I could totally see you being a bouncer. Well, yeah, because you used to be like a bit real, even bigger than you are now. You're a power lifter. Like, yeah.
So. Yeah, I was 235 when I started jiu-jitsu, and I'm like between 200 and 205. I can't keep weight on with training with jiu-jitsu, ton of cardio, dude. It's crazy. Dude.
Yeah, you did competitive powerlifting for a while, right?
Yeah, I haven't competed in 2 years. I want to try one more, but it's hard to train powerlifting and jiu-jitsu at the same time.
Right, they're pretty, like, it's a tough thing to, you know, like, do you still lift regularly anymore?
Yeah, I still do my power movements every week and stuff. Like, I'm nowhere near as strong as I was, but I mean, still decent.
Yeah. How many, like, what's your splits like? Because that's something I struggle with as far as, like, days I work out, days I lift, I pretty much primarily do CrossFit now. So it's just kind of whatever's going on in class that day is what I'm doing. But I just always struggle with like how to break my days up and stuff like that. Like as far as like lifting and jujitsu and, you know, all the other stuff I like to do. So how do you do it?
Try to get 2 to 3 power movements a week. And then 2 times a week, I train my little sister and my girlfriend in the morning. But I've changed that up where I kind of do jujitsu accessories for it. And I'll do those movements in the morning while I'm training them. And then, man, as much as
work,
Exist in Arnold.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got a deadlift bar in there. I keep their chains, bands.
You keep it in there.
Oh, yeah. I keep it in the back room.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I just pull it out when I need it.
That's great.
But yeah, it's kind of fun to see it come full circle, because like now when I do it just for pleasure. I don't do it really for like, I want to, you know, go win a competition. Except for the fact that now you're talking about, I really want to get in one, but
yeah. Well, there's weight classes with that too, right?
Yeah. That's why I messed up my first one, was I thought I was heavy, and jujitsu, you're not heavy. I was super heavy.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, but that's the one thing that's so irritating about like all the different combat sports, as far as like how the weight classes are always like, it's just so different. You know, like if you're like lightweight, for example, like a lightweight in an MMA is 155. I think lightweight in jiu-jitsu is like and it totally depends on the promotion for jiu-jitsu. Cause like the main one, IBJJF, which is kind of like the gold standard as far as like jiu-jitsu competitions go, I think like lightweight is like 168, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, they're just like you said, you signed up for heavy when you should have been light heavy or something like that. Like I feel like people fuck up that all the time.
It was funny. Rich the other day, who just got his purple belt. Congratulations to him. If mm-hmm. he listens to the podcast, he goes, yeah, what are you now? And I go, well, let me go see. And I was 201 after drilling for 3 hours. And he goes, yeah, I knew it, man. We're going to be able to meet at a catch weight. We're going to be 195 together before you knew it. I go, yeah, that's what I need to do, is meet you at a catch weight. Yeah. That's exactly what I need.
Yeah, Rich, yeah. A nightmare, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a certain look in his eye that scares you.
You know that dude's been through some stuff.
For sure. Yeah, he definitely has. I mean, he's had a crazy, crazy life. I've you know, had some conversations with him. And yeah, he's definitely not had an easy life. That's for sure. He's one I would be terrified of in a real
just
life
happy
situation.
He's on our side.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you don't have. Yeah. He's a great dude. He's just he's an interesting guy. He's awesome though. Yeah.
Speaking of powerlifting and you going to St. Mary's, did you know Colin McDonough?
Yeah.
So I used to train with his dad. His dad was a professional power lifter.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he used to come in and train us.
Oh, yeah. Bill?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big Bill.
Big old Bill.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, dude. That's who trained me in the off season. So he's talking about powerlifting. So Bill, when I was training with him, he was probably 55, 56. And this dude was all natural, no suits or nothing, and squatting, benching, just entering competitions. I think he holds a couple world records for his age.
Yeah,
it's insane.
I remember that.
He's insanely strong. But watching those guys,
his son
was
a freak.
Oh yeah,
that was
fucking Captain America.
Yeah,
that was the hardest part for powerlifting for me, is I don't take anything.
Yeah,
like I've never taken any kind of steroids or pro hormones or anything. Trying to compete with those guys was damn near impossible.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
But my coach at the time, Danny Wade, who's now like ranked, I think like 18th in the world or something crazy. Like he's ridiculously strong. He was teaching me how to do it, and I'm watching him. And I'm like, dude, I can't keep up with your programs. Like, I don't know how you're doing this naturally. Like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Well, there's levels to everything.
Yeah,
but
there's levels. That's exactly what I was just going
to
say. I
mean, then we get to jiu-jitsu. I'm like, cool. Even playing field. You're like, oh yeah, they don't test in here. I'm like,
I'm like, oh boy.
Test in here either. Awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, that's definitely a sport where there's some supplementation for sure. I mean, especially at like the high levels, you know, you just know that all those guys are sauced for sure.
Oh, I thought Gordon Ryan was natural.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I met Nick White, or he's one of the first form guys, big ball.
Yeah. White?
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, that's how
I used to lift with him too. He's
so
very strong, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he was training at the same gym that Bill was training me at. So that's why I met him. And then that's kind of how I got introduced to first form to begin with, because that was about the time they put up a first form flag and or something in the gym. He had just like gotten sponsored by first form.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I know who he is now. Okay. All right. Now I've had
Nick White.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
He's a unit in another way. Cause not only is he one of the most competitive power lifters I've ever had the pleasure of knowing, but like dude will fucking crank out half marathons.
Oh yeah.
Really?
He's a big fucking guy, jacked as shit. and he'll crank out half marathons in a very competitive time.
So I don't know if he's still a police officer or not, but he was a police officer when I was working out with him. And I'm like, dude, if you're fucking running after me,
Nope.
Here, I'm all yours, man. Yeah. He was, because, I mean, he was out there running and all that stuff, and he was fast, and he was fucking huge.
Yeah.
I think he's still fucking huge. I haven't seen him in a long time, but.
Well, that's the stereotype most people put on powerlifters. Like, oh, you're just big and strong. No, they're some of the most athletic, crazily gifted natural athletes I've ever seen.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I mean, I've seen some freaks for sure. But,
Because Nick's what, like 6'1", 6'2"? I think he's about my height, maybe a little shorter. But damn.
His form's impeccable, too. Like, he's got great form. That's I mean, not only is he just a strong guy, but his technique, just like in jiu-jitsu, it goes a long way.
Oh, hell powerlifting.
For sure.
Hell 100%. Yeah. So
do you sumo pull or conventional?
I do a modified. I did conventional up until 2020, maybe. And then I switched to a modified. I can't go all the way out. It's just unnatural, but I have a wide stance on my squat. But I mean, that got me from the 500s to the 600s in both squat and deadlift. So, I mean, there's definitely some mechanics there. Plus, I have wide hips. Like, it's your body type.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can pull conventional better than I can, even with you being taller.
Right.
Right.
It all just depends what you do what's best for your body type.
Right.
And that's what worked best for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that was the strongest I ever was. Hardest I ever threw was when I did that.
Yeah,
I also got drug tested an awful lot because Bill was posting videos and putting them on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And I got drug tested twice that off season, and then once again in spring training, and it's random. I mean, had me squatting, throwing the chains on there, all of the shit. And we came up with this movement. We took a sled with a weight belt, attached the sled to my hip. And so like all your power from when you're pitching is coming from your right side. So like I would get in my stance and stride out and just whip my lip like I was throwing a pitch.
With the sled behind you.
I had to whip this sled through. Yeah.
That's cool. Man. Yeah. Gina was real into powerlifting for a while.
Was she?
Oh yeah. She was, she only did one competition, I think, but I mean, she was really strong. I mean, for how, you know, she was pulling over 300, you know,
pretty solid
for a chick.
For sure, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got into it a little bit because she was into it for a while, and then I don't know why she stopped. I can't remember. I think she hurt her shoulder. That's what it was. And then she got into Orange Theory, and that's when her and her mom do now. But anyway.
That's the funniest thing. I got into jiu-jitsu because I'm like, you know, eventually I got to stop powerlifting. It's just too much pressure and strain on my body.
My body's getting too beat up powerlifting.
Tough on my joints.
Yeah, I'm going to go play a sport where people just actively attack my joints.
I mean, I'd say my most serious injury from powerlifting was I fractured my L5.
Oof.
I came down with like 565 on the bar, went forward, powered through it like a good morning up. Yeah, and I heard a pop, and then I finished the rest of the powerlifting meet. Jiu-jitsu, I'm constantly hurt. It's not like I tore an ACL or anything, but it's like
right.
Constantly. Like in the minute you get done with like stubbing your toe and jamming it, well, then like you and Trevor the other day,
yeah,
he threw you a little bit weird,
yeah,
and you heard a pop in your elbow, and it's like, and I was like, dude, I hope that's not a serious one where you're going to be out for months, because like what is that, Tommy John?
Yeah, your ulnar
collateral. Oh, dude, if that goes out, you're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, it's feeling good. I mean, I trained on Thursday night last week. It happened on Monday, and then by Thursday, I was able to train. Still a little funky, but I'm going to train. It's all right. It's nothing like that I'm not going to power through. I mean, I can barely even feel it anymore, so I think it's fine.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. You were in the gym Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You'll hurt something else next week?
Yeah.
Completely forget about that injury.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, it's always, like, stupid shit. Like, last week, we were drilling takedowns or whatever, and someone stepped on my foot really hard, and I'm like, fuck. Like, the top of my foot's just, like, all bruised up. You know, just, like, little shit like that all the time that, you know, you just get, like, nagging injuries, and it's possible to avoid, honestly. Like, if you're going to train jiu-jitsu, I mean, you're going to hurt something eventually. It's just a matter of time. You know, unfortunately, it's just kind of the way it is. I mean, the way I always describe it is like we're in the game of breaking your. I'm gonna break your bones before you break mine, and but we're gonna stop right before they break, and we're shocked when we actually get hurt. You know, it's like, you know, it's just part of it, but you know, we love it.
Well, I get why you guys didn't like rolling with me at first. heavy, big, strong dude.
Yeah, you get it now.
Didn't know how to control like doing it. Now, like, again, it's funny to see it come full circle because they're like, I forgot who I was rolling with this morning, but he's like, how do you know like when to turn on like a submission? I go, start slow, man. And like, if you know you got it, you can let it go. Like, there's no reason to actually, like, if you know you got it, like, I have it happen to me all the time with higher level. Kind of
hold
belts.
It right at that breaking point.
Right. And I'll feel it. And, you know, just tap. Like with you, like, I'll feel it. You'll let it go. I'll be like, do you have it? You're like, yeah, that's all I need. Okay. Now I know you had it.
Yeah.
Show me how to get out of it after we're done. Yeah.
We can keep the game going, you know? And it's like, and that's another thing. Like, I'm sure when you first started, you're like, oh, I'm a big, big, strong guy. I can throw this, you know.
Boy, was I wrong. Zach threw me around like a frisbee.
Well, that we want to shoot a video of Zach throwing me around, and I'm like,
Again, you don't know how much you don't know until you meet somebody who's trained.
Yeah. I mean, you realize pretty quickly. Strength helps. Like, don't get me wrong. Like,
once you have technique,
exactly. The technique is way more important than the strength. Like this. Well, once you have the technique, the strength definitely comes in handy for sure. But like, you take a big, strong guy and you have a small guy with technique, like, who's very good and skilled. Like, I'm going to go, if strikes are involved, that's kind of a different story, you know, cause that's kind of an ender, you know, that can kind of end things quickly. But if it's just straight grappling, I'm taking the guy with the smaller guy with the technique all day over the big, strong guy. But now, you know, you get a strong guy with technique, that's a different story. So
makes you appreciate, the UFC way more.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like I could not imagine. Cause I asked Kyle with the lifetime. He's like, hey, you can train Muay Thai, whatever you want to. I'm looking at him like, dude, I don't know that I could handle another martial art.
Right? Bro, that's
like jiu-jitsu is hard enough. I couldn't imagine training like Muay Thai and everything else. There's no way.
One thing I love about Muay Thai, though, is the clinch, though. And I mean, I do it at Watson's every now and again. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because every time I do anything with them, I'm like, oh, you used to wrestle? I'm like, no, I do fucking jiu-jitsu here. But just like wrapping up with people and getting close to them, when you have that grappling background, it definitely does help you in that sport.
Well, Zach asked me that the first couple times. He's like, did you wrestle? I go, and I got beat up by a lot of my buddies who were state wrestlers.
Same.
Fager, for instance.
Yeah.
We'd be drunk at parties. We'd be outside. Come here, Blake. I don't want to.
You know what's funny about that?
There you go.
Dude, I can actually say the same thing, except when I was in college, you know who those wrestlers were?
Yeah.
Sig-ups. And like they did not get out of those glory days, and they let you know that, like, hey, if you piss me off and I'm drunk, it's your funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my buddies know that now. They don't mess with it. There was a couple of years ago, I remember on my bachelor party, and I always tell a story. My buddy, you know, John, he's like one of my best friends growing up and still one of my best friends today. He's quite a bit bigger than me. He's about your size, actually. And I remember it was my bachelor party, and I think I'd be training for like a year and a half. So, and you know, we come back from the bar the first night of my bachelor party drunk. And, you know, him and I would, it's just a thing we'd always do because he wrestled, I wrestled. We'd always like fuck with each other when we're drunk. And, but him and I haven't done it a couple of years and not since I started training. And, I remember we're like, of course, wrestling on like a hardwood floor of this Airbnb, like an asshole. And, you know, I slap a triangle on him. And of course, it's 2 a.m. We're both hammered. He picks me up like Rampage Jackson style, and just like slams me on the hardwood floor. And like, yeah, it hurt. I popped out. I mean, I got out of it and then right away I took his back and choked him out, and it was great. But we always like, he always brings that up, and but it made me like remember, like, oh yeah, maybe a triangle in a street fight might not be the best option.
Probably not.
Well, not against a bigger guy.
Or now that I think about it, knowing what I know now about triangle, I mean, there's probably things I could have done to mitigate getting thrown like that. But yeah, it's just something that people don't think about.
Maybe be sober next time.
Yeah, that's that too. Yeah, that'll be. But anyway, going back to the kind of the Muay Thai versus Jiu-Jitsu, or, you know, because we were, you know, at our gym, they teach Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. And, you know, a lot of people ask, like, oh, why don't you train, you know, or how come you don't do the Muay Thai? And I'm like, I did do the Muay Thai for a long time, or I did it for like a year and a half. I think when I first joined there, I was doing it like 1 or 2 days a week in addition to Jiu-Jitsu. And then I eventually like hurt one of my hands. And so I stopped. It just hurt to punch things, but I could still grapple. And then I just never really went back. But looking at it now, I was like, man, I've only got so many hours in the day to like spend there, and like time that I can actually like go there and train and be in there. So it's like, I'd rather, if I've only got, you know, 10 hours a week to be in here, I'd rather spend all 10 of those hours just focusing on one thing and get really good at that one thing than like kind of average at both. So that's kind of why.
Knowing both makes me feel very secure though. Like when we were at Ultra, there was a guy who was starting problems and he started mouthing off to one of my friends. And my friend put me in between him and the other guy. Goes, hey, just so you know, if he comes over here, like you were my first line of defense, I'm like, that guy's not going to fucking come over here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's definitely, I mean, just martial arts in general, I think it's just good, a good thing for anybody to know, whether it's jiu-jitsu, wrestling. I mean, just any, having a
boxing
an ability, yeah, boxing. I mean, having a just an ability to defend yourself, it just comes with a certain level of confidence. So,
did you have a like a welcome to jiu-jitsu moment that sticks out to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've told it on here before, but it's Amanda, she's black belt at Revive.
Mm-hmm.
I train CrossFit with her. She's a fucking animal. But it was my very first day at Finney's, and 3 minute round, she probably subbed me like 5 or 6 times. You know, I came in like a high school wrestler, like, oh, I lift weights, I'm strong. And yeah, dude, she armbarred me, choked me, triangled me, like did whatever she wanted to me for like 3 minutes. And I was like, what the fuck? How is this girl that I've got like 40 pounds on, like ragdolling me like this? You know, and then right after that, I was like, man, I'm fucking hooked. Like, I got to learn how to do that. And yeah, that was my eye-opening moment. What about you?
Actually, right after your class, and I didn't realize how much I didn't know till, you know, like, when you're in basics, you're like, oh, you're looking around the other classroom, you're like, I could probably take that guy. Kyle comes up and he goes, hey, do you want to go downstairs today? And I was like, hey, you need help with the mats or something? Like, thinking he needs help cleaning or something. And he's like, no. He's like, you want to come down and train today? I was like, fundamentals? He's like, yeah. I go, I guess. Like, yeah. I was like, I like it up here.
I like it up here. I'm safe.
I went down there and I just remember I tried to find the lowest level belt.
Yeah.
And me and him were going, I don't even know if he's there anymore. I think his name was Tom. And we get done and I'm staying after and I'm talking to Phil. And I'm asking him, I mean, I'm just chewing his ear off because you know how I am. I just want to know everything I possibly can to get better.
Yeah.
And Phil's like showing me. So then the next time I come in, it's morning class. And I didn't know, like, you could go to morning class, go to open roll, but, you know, got to get the stripe first, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I've been coming to morning class not knowing it was fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
So Trevor goes, hey, do you want to train? I'm like, with you? Like, yeah. Man, I tell you what. I, dude, Trevor is a nightmare.
He is a nightmare.
And now he's turned it up more on me since I've gotten better. And I tell you what, I was like, wait, you've got more levels to this shit?
Oh,
like,
dude.
Holy hell.
Yeah, he's in first gear when you first day, you're probably first gear with you, you know, and you probably never even seen the fourth or fifth gear yet.
No, I guarantee I haven't.
You know, he's like.
The day I filmed for you guys, like, he was like coaching you on how to win and then he would take it away immediately.
Yeah, he's a nightmare. I love that guy because he's helped me get so much better because I've spent like literally today I felt bad because I was going to go there and train with him this morning. Like him and I were kind of like planning on drilling at open mat for a little bit. And then I had to kind of cancel on him. But just like spending one-on-one time drilling with him has helped me so much because he's so fucking good. God, he's good. And he's like strong. And I mean, he's got it all for sure.
And he's patient.
For sure. And he's very analytical on how he thinks about everything. And that's one of the reasons, you know, I think him and Kyle are kind of like a really good combination in how they teach, you know, because they both teach the same things, but kind of differently. And Trevor's very, he's a personal trainer, nutrition coach. He's very like, you know, kind of explains it. He'll put it in like, you know, like athletic movement. Like he'll like put body part. He'll like, what's the word I'm trying to look for? He'll put like the anatomy into it. And I think that like makes more sense for my brain and like the way he explains it. And him and I have a very similar like body type. We're built very, very similarly. So like his game works very well for my, like I've taken a lot of stuff that he does and applied it to my own game just because we're, you know, just like anything else, just like powerlifting to based on your body type kind of is going to depend on your style, you know, as far as like what things you're good at for the most part, especially like in jiu-jitsu. And, you know, with him and I kind of being built very, very similarly, it's like I can take a lot of the things that he does and like kind of throw it into my own game. It works pretty well.
I mean, that's who I base what I'm learning off of is Trevor. Like, that's where I want to go. So I try to
100%.
Yeah. I mean, exactly that. I mean, I'm a little bit bigger than him.
Yeah. That doesn't
but matter. Trevor's so damn strong Dude, for his size. It doesn't matter. And he's athletic. I remember he had me in turtle.
He doesn't do anything softly.
And he was screwing with me a little bit and he literally did a front handspring cartwheel off of me and then slid back under me, swept me and got back up and then just walked away. And I'm like, the fuck was that?
Disrespect. That is what that was.
And he was just laughing. I was like, fuck. Yeah. But don't come back.
He'll laugh at you and talk shit to you while he beats your ass too.
It's like Mario. Mario just smiles at you the whole time when you're rolling with him.
Yeah. Yeah, he does too. Yeah, you need to come to one of our Saturday sessions, bro. Our Saturday morning sessions. Bill's been coming to those, and yeah, so I'll let you know. We've been doing those every Saturday morning for like ever since COVID, really. So yeah.
At Watson's?
No. Larry's got a place in his roofing warehouse that is like the whole, it's enough for like five pairs to roll. And we train there every Saturday morning.
It was the first place we ever shot together.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we'll I'll hit you. I'll give you all the info. You're more than welcome to come for sure. But yeah, is there anything else we wanted to
just bring up? Just the last one. Oh, we always ask. Question. So yep. We started doing this after we read this stupid book earlier this year. but we did get this one pretty cool question out of it called the tombstone question. So what is it that you would like here lies Blake, and then what would you have written on your tombstone?
Damn. I was hoping I could answer real quick.
Damn, take your time. This is a tough one. This is why we like to ask it at the end.
I'd like to think that I was myself, no matter what, and willing to do anything for anybody I could.
Perfect.
Love that.
That's awesome.
Perfect. All right. Well, I think that'll wrap up the show for today, guys. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused through the show.
As well as our friends at Fit Flavor for hooking us up with the promo code podcast50 to get you 50% off a one-time purchase of an online gift card. So go check it out.
All right, guys, and tell a friend about the show if you guys enjoyed it. It's how the show grows. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, and comment below in the comments what you guys thought of the show. We will see you guys next time.